I had to take 4 semesters of biblical Greek. And although 4 semesters of biblical Greek felt like a lot, my Greek professor was under no illusion that after these 4 semesters, 10 years later, I would still be able to read the New Testament in its original language or do my own translating work. And indeed, I cannot. But what I did learn, what my Greek professor told me he wanted me to learn, is that I do not know what the Bible says. 4 semesters of biblical Greek is sufficient to alienate you from the text. Now, you might think it is a strange goal for a seminary to alienate its students from Scripture. So I'll sort of modify that word a little. When you know deep in your bones that you do not know what the Bible says in the language in which it was written, then you are going to be very careful about telling people what it means. You have to do your homework. And even after you've done your homework, you know that you need to approach this task with humility, because you don't know what it says, and so you just do your best with what it means. And today's gospel reading is an excellent reminder of why that is so important as we come to our holy text. Today we hear Peter, dear Peter, full of love and excitement, bravely stepping out to name Jesus the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And in return, he receives great praise from his beloved teacher. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. And now you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And with that praise came power, the keys to the kingdom of heaven, the authority to bind and to set free. Just imagine how Peter's heart must have soared. But with apologies to Peter, we're going to peek ahead and see what happens next in this conversation. Jesus, perhaps encouraged by Peter's big breakthrough, begins to explain to his disciples the path to which he is bound, his journey to Jerusalem, his persecution, his murder, and then after the third day, his resurrection. Peter hears all of this, and then Peter rebukes Jesus, insisting that such things cannot happen to him. And just like that, in the space of one conversation, the rock of the church becomes a stumbling block. So what did Peter get so wrong so fast? Wasn't he just attempting to use the authority he had been just given by Jesus himself to bind that which needed binding? To say, no, this cannot be. To insist that that is not what would happen in heaven, and to prevent a terrible tragedy. Well, maybe Peter got the same thing wrong that the church has continued to get wrong with distressing regularity. Perhaps Peter got confused about the source and the limits of his authority. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, this English translation seems pretty clear. Peter, and by extension the church built upon him, gets to decide what is bound and what is set loose on earth, and heaven will fall in line. And so Peter is well within his authority when he tells Jesus that he is not bound to death in Jerusalem. And an interesting little translation note, when Jesus says he must go to Jerusalem, the actual word he is using is bound. He is bound to go to Jerusalem. And so Peter says, good news, I unbind you. And yet, Peter has stepped outside his limits. So let's look closer at the powers given to him in today's reading. And as we have all learned very well over these past years of pandemic regulations, writing rules is very tricky. The words I use to convey my meaning may well mean something slightly different to you, and thus result in you breaking the rules I created, even as you adhere to the words you heard. Did you get that? Right. Add to this a little motivated interpretation. Perhaps you didn't exactly like the words you heard. And, well, rock of the church to stumbling block in just one chapter. The trick is, the Greek text is using verb tenses that we don't really have in English, which makes translation very, very difficult. So one scholar I rely on for this kind of work offers this very, very literal attempt at translation in order to sort of show us the ambiguity of what Jesus said. Here it is. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of the heavens, and whatever you may bind on the earth will be what has been bound in the heaven. And whatever you may loose on the earth will be what has been loosed in the heaven. It's a small difference, and it may or may not make any difference in meaning, but it might. Because this translation suggests that Peter's power lies not in the authority to decide what will happen on earth and therefore in heaven, but rather the capacity to discern what has happened in heaven and so needs to happen on earth. If both of the translations are plausible, and it's important to acknowledge that they are, because there is rarely a one-to-one translation when you're dealing with language. If both of the translations are plausible, then the original must contain hints at least of both. And Peter seems to have chosen the rather flashier version, the one that gave him a little more clout and goes from foundation rock to stumbling block in one easy step. Now, it would be nice to blame the following centuries of Christian hubris on Peter's misstep, but it would also be unfair, because it is certainly a mistake we are perfectly capable of making over and over and over again, all on our own. We didn't need Peter to set that particular example, although perhaps it's comforting to know that Peter set that example. And it started right at the beginning of our communal life as the church. Paul's letter to the Romans, and many of his other letters, for that matter, warns against the dangers of thinking anyone other than God is in charge. Our call, Paul says, is to make our bodies an offering to God, to transform our minds so that they belong to God rather than the world, to recognize our role in the building up of the whole to the glory of God, not the glory of ourselves. This is how to be a foundation rock, to be firmly embedded in the ground of God. Foundation rocks are not at the top of the cathedral. And so this is the starting place for discernment, focused on God rather than on our own needs or desires or ambitions. focused on God rather than the pressures of the world or the expectations and teachings of our own cultures. Such a focus may lead us to uncomfortable places, opening our eyes to truths and to responsibilities we might rather not see, binding us in ways we might rather not be bound. But such focus also leads to freedom for ourselves and for others because it leads us to set loose all which God has set loose. Forgiveness and joy and creativity and love and generosity. The alternative is to be a stumbling block, to get in the way of people or of ourselves who are trying to follow God, to trip them up with distractions and with judgment, to insist that they do things our way or that they take care of us, to claim that we know God's will and that they do not. This is a sin with which the church is intimately familiar. And, let's be honest, it's probably pretty familiar to us as individuals too. It's the sin of colonialism and structural racism, protecting the systems of white superiority and capitalism. It's the sin of everyday selfishness, protecting what's mine at all costs. It's the sin of self-loathing, when we undermine and undervalue ourselves and others in order to hide our feelings. And it's the sin of pride, placing ourselves on equal footing with God, or at least at Jesus' right hand. It is the way of death, even if it feels like the way of power, just as surely as the other way is the way of life, even if it sometimes feels like the way to loss. When Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, it wasn't so that Peter could become heaven's bouncer, controlling who gets to get into the party and who has to stay out in the cold. If you have an image of Peter at the pearly gates, get rid of it. When Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, it was so that Peter could swing wide the gates and allow the party to spill out onto the streets, maybe in a parade, and sweep everyone up in the will of God so that God's will could be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not the other way around. Not according to Peter's will. And we have inherited those keys. What are we going to do with those keys? How will we swing wide the gate? How will we discern God's will rather than our will? We have inherited the keys to the kingdom. Whatever we may bind on earth must be what has been bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth must be whatever has been loosed in heaven. We are the rock upon which Christ has built his church. Thanks be to God.